This episode is sponsored by Evercore Facility Management. Evercore is a self-performing facility maintenance company based right here in the Wyoming Valley. They have been serving commercial and industrial clients in the Mid-Atlantic region for 25 years. Operating 24 hours a day, 365 days per year, Evercore gives customers peace of mind and allows them to work uninterrupted. Call 877-EVERCORE or visit evercore.com to learn more. That's EVERCORE.com. Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Josh Cadle, owner of the Cadle Agency. What's up, podcast? Episode 16, another virtual On the Stacks podcast. What's going on, Josh?
Not much, brother. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me. It's a long time coming. You've been on the stacks before, but not on the podcast.
I'm just hoping that this actual episode of On the Stacks podcast is as explosive as the actual post last year.
Yeah, that was July 4th. So I mean, it's almost been a year. Can you believe it?
Do you have any firework effects that we can do? Like,
I don't. I should have brought some.
Is Jess standing back there with some fireworks that I don't know?
Yeah,
about
I got. You. Yeah, Jess is actually in the corner. When I give her the signal, she's gonna blow off the streamers.
At least have that weirdo, you know, Corby come and do some actual magic, you know, some back magic fireworks, you know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, he might disappear.
He could just pop out of nowhere.
You never know.
I don't think he's here.
Yeah, could be though.
Could be.
All right. Well, before we get into the Cadle Agency and what you do, give me a little bit about your background. You're from NEPA. You grew up here. You went away to school. You lived in some other cities around the country. So tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up here in northeastern Pennsylvania, like you said, Luzerne County, multi-generations now of Cadles have been from Luzerne County. Both my grandfather and my father, as I'm sure we'll get to talk about, because that's kind of where the business side of things came from, you know, small business owners here in the area. Both of them had a couple kids, and you know, most of those kids went off and did their own thing in terms of business and, you know, some different, you know, nonprofit world stuff. But I was that kid that loved growing up here, had a great upbringing with friends and family locally, sports, and you know, I went to Dallas High School, had a good education from there. But at about 17, I got the itch and I needed to get out of here, to be honest. And I was, it's not some great story. It's just, how far can I get away and not pay, you know, at that time, tens of thousands of dollars in school, you know, now it's hundreds, yeah. Right. But yeah. I mean, at that time it was like, how far could I go? And I landed on the University of Pittsburgh. I had been talking to some D2 schools about, you know, playing soccer or baseball for them here closer to home, but I absolutely fell in love with the city of Pittsburgh. Penn State was an option.
I got my Penn State.
You wouldn't be you if you weren't.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I mean, there's people that go to Penn State, and then there's smart people who go to Pitt. I went out to Pittsburgh. I fell in love with the city. It was like everything that I wanted in our small town feel. You know, that I grew up with. You know, I wasn't gonna go, you know, into Chicago or New York City and like get eaten alive, right? But it had the city aspect, and you know, it was sports rich. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, that, you know, the Penguins. I was a big hockey fan growing up, and then, you know, obviously the Pirates have an amazing stadium out there. But I went out there, you know, got my degree, and then kept going west. Went out to Iowa for a couple of years. When I finally realized I wasn't going to play sports after high school and college, I decided to work in sports. So for about a decade after, I worked for the Pittsburgh Penguins when I was in college for a little while, and then the strike happened and I had to figure something else out, moved out to Iowa, helped start a hockey team out there. And then just so happened to, you know, came back here, you know, karma or whatever you want to say, you know, destiny brought me back to NEPA. And, when the Yankees came to town, now the Rail Riders, I was the sales and marketing manager for a couple of years when they swapped over from the Red Barons to the Yankees. So, not unlike yourself, a lot of marketing in my background. I mean, I studied economics in school, but ever since then, even growing up in the family business, has always been marketing ideas, you know, like, how can we be different? How can you be unique? You know, all while still upholding that reputation that, you know, you of, you know, service and, you know, continuity and tradition and, mm-hmm. You know, you try to uphold. It's a tough mix. You don't want to go too far from what people expect from you, but at the same time, you don't want to get stale either. So that's what brought me back to NEPA.
Is that what it was? Was it the Yankees and the farm team in Scranton? Is that what brought you back to the area?
Yeah. I just want to get back to the East Coast. Full disclosure, the Midwest was nice, but it wasn't where I wanted to be forever. It was mm-hmm. just a different speed. Like some people say down south, different speed than up north. I just wanted to get back to the East Coast, a little bit closer to home. You wouldn't believe, you know, I mean, friends weren't hopping on a plane every weekend to come out to Des Moines, Iowa. Let's put it that way. I came back here, you know, I'd wanted to, you know, continue my foray into sports. Obviously, you know, the Yankees being a big name, I'm a diehard, you know, Red Sox fan growing up, still am to this day. So working for the enemy was fun. However, the Red Sox did win the World Series when I was there. So I kind of patted myself on the back for being a spy kind of.
Yeah. You were the inside man, right?
I was the inside guy. And I was the Costanza version of the Red Sox, you know? It just wasn't enough. There was something that finally clicked in me, and I said that this wasn't the ultimate path for me. I really got a liking to sales from working in sports. Doesn't matter what you are. You could be in maintenance or a janitor, and you're still selling tickets at the end of the day. You know, it's just small market team stuff. Yeah. So, did sales for a little while, and then, while I was going through a couple sales careers, I met my now wife. We've been together. Actually, our anniversary was 2 nights ago, 8 years now.
Congrats.
And thanks. Now we have 2 boys, Jack and Grady, 4 and 6. And I'm continuing on the Cadle tradition of, boys, you know, men have boys. And, you know, we do have a couple girls in the family, but there's always been a lot of Cadle boys in the back mountain. So,
yeah.
We're not in the back mountain anymore. We live downtown, closer to work for both my wife and I, but, still keeping that tradition, man. I think that's my ringing endorsement. You know, what I'm most proud of is, you know, tradition and, you know, continuing on the legacy that, came before us.
Yeah. So what was it about working in some of those other cities, Pittsburgh and working out in Iowa? What was it, you know, what did you learn from those experiences and what were you able to bring back to NEPA?
I think the one word, I'm always a big one word guy. And for me, what comes to mind at those times, it's opportunity. For me leaving this area, right? Like I could have stayed here and, props to anyone who stayed here and, you know, ended up finding their own path. But for me, I would have never appreciated what we had here if I didn't go out there. You know, I took an opportunity while I was still in school to do an internship in Philly and just, you know, learned how to fail pretty quickly. You know, it was just a bad situation, admittedly. It was a marketing company and just, you know, kind of a bait and switch type of situation. And, you know, if it weren't for that, I wouldn't have been more conscious of my decision. So that was an opportunity to learn. You know, Pittsburgh was just, you know, for me, it was the land of opportunity because compared to, you know, growing up in NEPA back in the 90s, you know, it's not the NEPA we know now, you know, which is a good thing. You know, there's so much opportunity here now, but going out to Pittsburgh and then, you know, Des Moines, Iowa, the area that I lived in, it was cornfields, you know, forever until like 10 years before I got there. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I think when I was there in the mid 2000s, it was the largest square footage, like shopping area in the greater, like North America. Like even battle, you know, beating out like Minnesota Mall of America, stuff like that. It was just this huge complex. It was like a Sim City, like, you know, like a thing like they could just create from nothing because there was no, you know, mountain on the side of Philadelphia to have 76 go across, you know, like that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But no, opportunity. I think that's the best thing. And that's kind of where I, you know, one of the cornerstones of what I'm always looking for, you know, not just something to go bigger, better, faster, stronger, but just opportunity and always looking for, you know, another one, whether it's for myself or, you know, my kids, my wife, you know, my employees, it's just opportunity.
Yeah. What about, you mentioned a minute or two ago, your father and your grandfather, and you talked a little bit about the business. What's that about?
So I was actually speaking to my dad about this a couple weekends ago. We just put a whole, we just did a big project, obviously COVID projects, you know, I guess that's what they're going to be known as from now on. Turned half of our yard into like a big, you know, sitting area, fire pit. So, but we just got to talking and I said, you know, what Pop-Pop was his father, my grandfather. You know, I said, what made Pop-Pop go into business? Because I knew that my great grandfather, who I didn't know, of course, but he wasn't an entrepreneur. I just said, you know, what's, I know why I did it. I know why my dad did it, because they were both, you know, like that, they learned from their father before them. But I said, what made Pop-Pop go into business? And he said, he just always had an inkling to find a way to help people. And our family's past wasn't really the collegiate level of things, more the technical school side of things. Excuse me. And Cadel TV and Appliance was born back in the 70s. And they turned it from, you know, one or two small stores into late 70s, early 80s, into they actually built a huge superstore out in Tunkhannock. And I mean, long before its time, you know, you're talking, you know, your Kmart or Sears or something like that with all the major appliances, but also mixed with like a Blockbuster and different things like that. Like, I mean, they had video rental back in the 70s before it was, you know, what was it, Pacific Coast or West Coast Video and things like that, you know, like all the offshoots of it, but they were doing it back then, you know, doing crazy numbers back in the day. And unfortunately they hit a downturn in the economy and lost it all. You know, they lost it all in the early 80s. So for me, looking back, you know, going through what I'm, you know, going through now with COVID, it's like, you know, the pandemic and whatnot, it's okay. So let's take this up, you know, go back to that word opportunity. It's, you know, learn from the lessons of my, you know, grandfather before us and, you know, just make sure I'm not a little too overextended, which, you know, is, you know, could have easily happened with me. I just opened up a new office right before the pandemic started. So it's just trying to, you know, learn from them before us. But, you know, very proud of the fact that, you know, I'm a third generation small business owner from Luzerne County. My first office with Allstate, I bought a business back in 2013, but that was up in Dixon City. Mm-hmm. So until this past December, I hadn't eclipsed that ultimate goal of mine, which I couldn't say I was a third generation small business owner in Luzerne County. And that's what I'd always strive for. So this past December was a bittersweet month, because my grandfather, who was Joe Cadel, who was the person who started this entrepreneurial train of, you know, Cadels, he had been battling Parkinson's for the last 10 years. And my business opened December 1st. He actually passed away on New Year's Eve. All in the same month, it's just like, you know, and I mean, you know, it was a long time coming because he was sick, but it's just like, it was almost like, you know, I don't know what the word is you would use for it, but it was like, it was like he held on, you know, just, I was able to talk to him for a couple minutes and say, look, I did it, you know, that we're here. And it was, you know, brought a smile to his face. And, you know, those types of things you remember, you know, because, you know, you learn a lot from your parents and grandparents and influences growing up, you know, to pay homage to that. It's important, you know?
Yeah. So one of the other things you mentioned is the word, before we started, you mentioned the word reputation.
Absolutely. Learned reputation more so, we'll switch gears to my father, in the early 80s when, the, you know, Cadel TV and Appliance, they had to file for bankruptcy. It was my father and my three uncles, along with my grandfather. My grandfather went off and, you know, did something else, you know, used his expertise, you know, him and his brother, my great uncle, were both in the engineering type of background. Like they had, you know, just brains, you know, like my great uncle is like a, you know, he worked for IBM patents and all that stuff. But, my father was probably in his mid 30s, uncles probably all about the same, and they had to reinvent themselves. So my dad at that time started Cadel Satellite, and then two of my uncles started Cadel TV and Appliance, and then another uncle worked with computers. So, you know, like there's the thing. A lot of people ask me, like, why didn't you go into that? And I said I tried, but my dad wouldn't let me. But I used to grow up, my dad used to have this big red truck, and everybody knew it as Cadel TV, or as my wife, who I didn't know her at the time, her and her cousins used to call him Mr. Cable, because he was always the guy that would come over and fix the TV. So Mr. Cable was coming over, but which I think we missed out on a huge marketing opportunity there, right?
Yeah, totally.
But no, the reputation aspect, honestly, Bill, my father is probably one of the most amazing people, you know, like people person you'll ever meet. I mean, just like he didn't, it's funny that I'm so big on marketing and advertising because he did not. Like, it was him. It was just like his whole thing. It wasn't even word of mouth. It was just reputation. Like, it wasn't even something where he had to ask for a referral or like he had to say, hey, could you tell your friends about me? It was just, he just did the right thing. You know, people needed his help, you know, back in the, you know, 80s, you know, when I got a little bit older, 90s, you know, that's when the huge like ceramic dishes were, you know, being put up and the big mesh dishes and stuff. I still have scars on my arm because they'd have the wire cut too long and I'd jag myself up. But no, I mean, we'd be in and out of people's houses every day, sometimes, you know, half a dozen, 10 times a day. And it was just the same thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, in a people, you know, oriented business, like, you know, and I know now, you know, you're not always going to make everybody 100% happy all the time, you know, but what I learned from him growing up is it doesn't matter whether they're happy or unhappy, you treat them with the same respect, you know, you just, you know, you do your utmost for them and, you know, you just continue to do the right thing. My grandfather said, you know, you never have to worry about if you're doing the wrong thing is if you're always doing the right thing.
Yeah. That's very true.
So the reputation aspect, it's almost like in my blood. Don't get me wrong, in this day and age, it's, you know, with social media and stuff and everything is out there, it's more challenging than ever to keep a good reputation. But at the same time, if you're, you know, I just always have him in the back of my head saying, if you just do the right thing, then you never have to worry.
Yeah. So, that's exactly true.
Yeah.
Yep. So but now you're in the insurance business.
So not technology. I mean, they're trying to make it technology with all these devices and apps and stuff, but not technology at all. I started to say earlier, God, I think I was just coming out of school and I had this bright idea. I don't remember when it was, but I had this bright idea that I would help my dad, you know, come back full time, help him, you know, work. And I did for a little bit. I was in between some stuff and I had said, I think I'm just going to take over the business. You know, help you at some point. And then when you want to retire, I'll take over the business. And he wasn't that guy that said a lot. I don't know where I get it from, but he just looked at me and he said, no, that's not going to happen. And a lot of people, like when I tell them that, they're like, oh, wow. He didn't want to give you his business. And I said, no, it's not that. I remember he looked at me when I was in school a while before that. And he said, look, I'm sending you to school so you can go and do your own thing. He goes, I have this thing here, but you know, I want you to go and do your own thing. Like, my dad didn't go to college. Grandfather didn't go to college. Like, they were all just like self-made, you know, technical. They use their, you know, knowledge of technology and whatnot to do their own thing. But he said, you know, I have visions for you that are a lot bigger than just this business. And, you know, fast forward to probably about 10, 15 years ago now, he had said, this business is going to be so different, you know, when you have kids and you need to be supporting a family. And he was right. I mean, he would do probably 40 to 50 small dish DirecTV or Dish Network satellites a month before. He might do 3 or 4 now. Like, it's just not his business. Like, it's a totally different world we live in. And thankfully for his foresight, he saw that. And, you know, but insurance, I remember sitting with my father-in-law, who's a dentist up in the Back Mountain. And he, you know, he's always been a dentist. His father was a dentist and does very well for himself. One of the best business minds that I know. I'm very fortunate to have him in my corner too. But after me probably going on 4 or 5 different things in a 2 or 3 year span and just about to marry his daughter, or I think we were just about to have our first son, he looked at me and he's like, why insurance? And I just looked and I didn't have a great answer. I said, why not? You know, because I didn't have an answer for him, but I mean, unless he had an answer for me, you know, like to why not, then we kind of understood each other. And I just said, I expanded upon it. And I just said, look, this is an opportunity for me to get into a business that's not going anywhere. It's an opportunity for me to use my somewhat financial background and sales background, but also more than anything, is it something that people need? And in my mind, it was underserved. In terms of, you know, education, and I don't know if you can see my logo here.
Yep.
I was never going to be a weatherman, I guess. But with the logo there, it says, you know, in the words are placed very distinctively, very on purpose. The middle word is ensure, last word is advise, but before any of those, it's educate. You know, because I mean, you know, they're trying to do it now. They're trying to get robots and computers to sell people insurance policies. However, you know, they're never going to be able to educate you on, you know, the process. They're never going to get to know the difference between Bill and Jess Corcoran and Denny Corby versus, you know, Bob and Jeannie Clements. You know, like they're all different. Everybody has their own unique, you know, aspects to their life. And I don't care if you have, you know, 10 or 20 people that are cookie cutter, the same exact person, the same exact situation, finances, job, whatever. At the end of the day, they're all different people.
Yeah.
You know, and they all have different wants and needs and plans for their life and plans for their kids, might not have kids, might never have kids, you know? So it's a unique situation where I can take the, you know, the life experience that I've had, and, you know, train some other people, young, old, experienced, not experienced, to, you know, just show that care and concern for the community, which, you know, that's another big word that, you know, really is impactful on my life is, you know, just impact this community in the best way I can. So, you know, why insurance? I still don't have a good answer for why insurance. It's just, why not? You know, is there a better opportunity for me to do something? Maybe. But at that time, I had a great opportunity to purchase a, you know, a business from a gentleman who's looking to retire and stick around and help me learn the business. And, you know, if it weren't for him, just like if it weren't for a lot of people, I don't know where I'd be right now. But
yeah, so that was, know. That was how many years ago?
Oh, gosh, it's going to be, it's 7 years this year.
And now, and
2020, yeah, okay. It's just about in a couple months, it's 7 years.
Okay.
And then, 2013, I bought the business off him, and then this past December opened up our new office in lovely 44 Pennsylvania, where I'm sitting right now.
That was my next point is that you just recently opened a second location and this whole pandemic thing happened, shortly after you opened that second location. Like what was that like? Have you been impacted negatively? What's going on?
I think it would be silly to say that, you know, I'm not going to be that guy that's, you know, all positive all the time. You know, there was definitely some sit back and, you know, it's a family show, so I won't say what I probably said in my head a couple times, but you know, you had to sit back and go, WTF, what am I going to do now? Like, you know, like we admittedly, after we, you know, we went from a certain model, a local model with our first office for the first 6 years, first 2 years, we're really trying to learn the business, you know, learn a lot about our customers. Cause I mean, we bought a pretty sizable amount of customers from this gentleman that, you know, it took a good 2 years to get them to be familiar with not only me, but also my staff and whatnot. It was a change for them, right? Agent of change, you know, like that's where that comes from. But we focused on the, you know, the community level and the local level so much with the first, and we were very successful with that, rose to the ranks. And we're one of the, you know, coming into this year, we were one of the most successful agents for Allstate in Pennsylvania. And when we opened the new office, I kind of just threw that out the window and said, hey, we're huge now. We're going to go do all this stuff all over the state. We're just going to replicate this times however many counties there are in Pennsylvania. And it didn't work. So did COVID hurt? Yeah, it hurt a little bit. You know, the pandemic hurt because I had to sit back for a week or two and, you know, kind of fundamentally change the way I looked at it. But also say, you know, at first the question was, is it appropriate? Is it ethical to be prospecting people right now? But also, you know, after sitting back and looking at it is, how do we ethically do it? And it just came back to, and I said, a light bulb moment. And I said, stop going into other areas where they don't know us. So there's more than enough people here. We talk about this area being opportunity. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's better now? I mean, for me, I had to look at the positives. I now have an office on a busy street in Luzerne County in 44, Pennsylvania, right on Wyoming Ave. And I have another office in Lackawanna County, which is the two, you know, if you want to call it the twin cities of NEPA, you know, collectively together, you know, we actually have a pretty big population here, you know, when you think about the two counties together comparatively to, you know, middle of the state and whatnot. So kind of just had to look at it for the pro and say, all right, how do we do this better? Had a couple, you know, staff who had just come on that had to take a step back and take care of their families and rightly so, right? I think it was a time for all of us to collectively take a step back and say, all right, what's important right now? you know, how do I take care of what's important? And then how do I, you know, if I have to shift focus or ramp back up once this is back to normal, you know, we, whatever normal is, you know,
it's, the new normal, I guess.
I'm sure you have stories for days about, you know, with all the different industries you touch. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, with what you guys do, it's, you know, I mean, we focus a lot on the personal lines aspect. We do some commercial insurance, but I mean, I would say 95% of our book of business is personal lines.
Okay.
But I mean, I know from the different, you know, colleagues that I have that work in the, you know, heavy in the commercial end. I mean, everybody you talk to, it affected in a different way. You know, some people were able to take advantage, but, you know, not take advantage, but you know what I mean? Capitalize on the situation and become out better for it. And that was kind of the goal. I told the staff that was able to stay on, you know, we were all working from home and we're doing Zoom calls just like this, and said, guys, you know, I don't want to just come out of this even. Like, I want us to not, and I'm not saying just from a production level, but I want to make sure we learn something from this, you know, reconnect with our customers, because, you know, might have taken a step back from that for a couple of months with trying to, you know, really ramp up the new office. So,
yeah.
Really try to take a look at all the positives from it. You know?
Yeah, definitely a learning opportunity. Oh,
like anything, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you don't fail or accept the fact that you do fail, then you're never going to learn something new.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a total opportunity, you know? One other thing I want to ask you about is the hashtag Be the Catalyst.
Yeah.
What's that about?
So, as you can see behind me, you know, this is kind of a movement, Agents of Change, with some insurance agents. It's actually with a marketing company that I work with down in Florida. They work exclusively with insurance agents. And it's kind of the whole thing, you know, it's a play on words with Agent of Change. So, you know, anytime somebody does something new, you know, they really should talk to their insurance agent about, you know, am I covered, you know, am I covered, you know, appropriately, you know, I'm getting married, I'm having a kid, buying a new house, I'm buying this, I'm buying that, you know, it's am I covered, you know, appropriately. And now in these days with liability, that's important. So the word change, obviously, you know, being a change agent, you know, it kind of hit me one day. I was at a conference with some other, like a mastermind out in Denver with some other agents. And it's so funny because I've had the Instagram handle, The Catalyst, KATYLYST, play on my, you know, Cato last name.
Yep.
For, I don't know, when did Instagram come out? You know, I don't even know what it was. And I, you know, for me, you know, I was like Zuckerberg in the movie, we can't monetize it. I don't even know what it is yet. You know, and honestly, it was an innocent, just like a silly little play on words.
Yep.
And, I was, you know, at this mastermind, there's a coach out there that does like branding and self-brand and stuff. And she took us through this like exercise, and it's like, you know, name some words that, you know, are synonymous with who you want your brand to be. And, you know, that whole existential type of conversation. And it just hit me, and it was like, oh my gosh, I stumbled upon it. I'm like, wait a second. You know, this is a moment where it's like, we can make this into something. So that's the story behind where it came from, but the story of where I want to take it. And I was actually just chatting with Holly, about this recently. And, for me, it's more of a movement to, you know, it was going to be the Catalyst Initiative or the Catalyst, you know, movement or whatever, but really Be the Catalyst is about just anybody. It could be my 6-year-old that's sitting on the camera right here, for him to be the absolute best possible person in his class to influence somebody's life in a good way, right? And it doesn't need to be change the world, you know, but I mean, there is that quote from Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. You know, that's on one of our, you know, posters in the Dunmore office, you know, but it's that, it's like, it's not, hey, I hope one of my kids runs for president one day. It's just, I hope that they can impact one person who, I think it's about impacting somebody who they can run for president, or that they can make a change, or they can do that. It's just, you know, for me, I think I'm at my utmost happiness, whether it's with my staff, you know, my spouse, my kids, my friends, you know, if I can be impactful in their life to help them become the best possible version of themselves, that's what it's all about. You know, like be the catalyst for whatever good comes in their life, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah. So,
because at that point, then I don't need to try to make myself better or try to prop myself up better and say, hey, Bill, did you see what I did last week? I wore this piece of pizza in my pocket as a pizza square.
Yeah, you did that one.
We did that once. That was a great idea. But,
yeah.
But I couldn't find the picture too. I was going to put it up, you know. But you know, it's, you go back to marketing school and things like that, right? And you talk about promotions and whatnot. And it, I think the hardest thing to get through now with social media is self-promotion versus other promotion.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you know, I could say till I'm blue in the face, I'm the best insurance agent in the world, or I'm the this, I'm the that, I have this best. I mean, nobody, like, it's just, it goes in one ear and out the other. Like, people don't even, they just scroll right through it. Yeah. However, if somebody else says, it doesn't need to be best insurance agent, but it's just, hey, look at what so-and-so is doing in the community. Look at what those guys from, you know, the shirt company did, you know, like they didn't, you know, they weren't saying, hey, we make great shirts, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, hey, we want to do this because we want to help out businesses that are struggling. So that is, you know, for me, the best type of promotion you can ever do. And you never have to say, hey, look at us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so there.
Yeah. So, kind of along the same lines, but, what's your favorite thing about NEPA?
So, my favorite thing about NEPA, I love the name NEPA.
Yeah, by the way, I gotta call you out on that because,
yeah,
like, you say NEPA?
I do say NEPA.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I say NEPA.
For me, it just rolls off the tongue. And people, ugh, you know, for me, it was like, okay, let me put it this way. It was like being from Dallas. You know, like, you know, like, you know, okay, so, you know, you grew up, you know, around the area, right?
Yep.
You know, like, I couldn't stand when I'd go to, like, I'd be at school in Pittsburgh and I'd be like, where are you from? I'm from Scranton. I'd be like, dude, you grew up in Shavertown. Like, you grew up, yeah, in Truxville. You grew up in Kingston. No, say where you're from. And I mean, I just love the fact that you said Dallas. They're like, Texas? No, haha, Dallas, Pennsylvania,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No, but for me, like, sometimes corniness, I think, is a great thing. But obviously, that's not what I like about NEPA the most. I just love the eclectic nature. I think the fact that we're small enough that you can make a difference, but large enough to make it on a large scale, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, totally. I mean, you know, big fish, small pond, you could call it that. Some people look at that as a negative, but for me, you know, when I went to school, you know, when I went to Pitt from a small school, like in the area, mm-hmm, like Dallas, you know, I struggled mightily with not standing out like you would have in a smaller crowd here. But, you know, then you come back here after being gone for 10 years and this place is just totally different than it was. You know, yeah, we'll call it with technology, you know, companies like Pepper Jam and now, you know, Cole Creative and, you know, some other, you know, young, you know, business, you know, influential business people like yourself and some others in the area. I mean, we now have a platform, you know, with social media and on the stacks and things, yeah, like that we can, you know, and you and I have talked about this offline, like, we can take this national. We want to take this, not just, you know, this isn't just a local movement, right? You know, this isn't, yeah, just, I hope I can influence somebody in Luzerne County. You know, I'm hoping that some, you know, 24-year-old kid works for me and then goes and does something huge. And he just says, oh, I remember I got to start at, you know, the Cadle Agency with Josh. You know, like, yeah, that for me, you know, my goal is to play golf, you know, 4 or 5 times a week at some point before I, you know, have to, you know, be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life or something. And I want to be able to say, like, I impacted somebody's life, not just I made a certain amount of money and that's how I can play golf.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just about my kids, you know, because I don't make the world a better place by making my kids better. I make the world a better place by making the world a better place. And then it's a better place for them to grow up in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well,
there's community. I'll leave you. There's my last word. Community.
Yes. Community.
Community.
Yeah. And maybe we'll come back to that. But I have this.
Go ahead.
This next question is sponsored by Evercore. You probably recently saw the Big League Chew flavor voting we did on Facebook and Instagram. But I got to ask you, what is your favorite flavor of Big League Chew? And I got the Evercore hard hat on just in case something falls from the ceiling, you know?
Being a former, you know, I probably played baseball for half my life to this point. Even after college, would still love it and play. But so I have extensive knowledge on the subject.
On Big League Chew. Oh boy.
But wow. I don't know if you're going to be happy because I feel like it's the vanilla answer. I feel like it's the vanilla answer.
I can already tell.
You know where I'm going with it.
Yeah, it's not grape. I know. I can already tell.
It's grape forever.
Oh, it is.
Grape.
Well, no, I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go against.
No, Grape. What strawberry or whatever it was? No.
I don't know. You got me nervous though.
No, it was for me. It was always Grape. Ooh. Forever.
Oh, all right.
Forever. Who said cotton candy? That's what I want to know. That's.
Yeah, not many people voted for cotton candy in round.
No.
Three. No. But.
No. For me, it's Grape forever.
What's that?
Said for me, it's Grape forever.
Yeah, definitely. But there are a few other flavors coming up. There's still a few more rounds. There's strawberry, blue raspberry, and sour apple. So a couple strong flavors.
I feel like that's the variety bag of Jolly Ranchers, but Grape always reigns supreme.
Yeah, I agree. Some people are so mad that Grape keeps winning. But
hey, well, to show them this.
Haters going to hate.
I've spoken.
You know? Well, I'm glad you're a Grape fan. You got me a little nervous there.
I wasn't sure which one you want. You know, well, now the people know this wasn't staged.
It wasn't staged, and yeah, I was sweating that one out for sure. Yeah.
Hey, all man, right, I gotta congratulate you. You're doing great things. You know, I know this isn't, you know, this isn't the part of the podcast where we turn it back to you and ask questions, but you're doing a good job.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, that's totally cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, we can take this hat off now. Yeah, there you go. Take yours off. Okay, back to regular scheduled programming here.
My hair looks good for just having a hat on too. So.
Yeah, look at that. Mine's a little messed up. I need that. I need some of that hair gel you got in.
You got that? This is just me. This is all me.
Yeah, I need to borrow yours. So how can someone learn more about the Cadle Agency website, thecadleagency.com, your social media, what else?
So honestly, I've always been about, it kind of goes back to what I was talking before, you know, the self-promotion aspect. I would say this is about the most I do with it. You know, obviously we have thecadleagency.com and with, you know, Agency Marketing Machine with Agents of Change, you know, we put out a magazine every month. But it's really, I try not to focus on insurance because, you know, that's exactly why somebody says, hey, Josh, why insurance? You know, because it's not, let's, you know, we'll keep the PG. It's not sexy. Like, like nobody's going, you know, aside from a couple people I know, I won't name their names, embarrass them. But there's not that many people that think about insurance and go, gosh, I love this. But that's exactly why, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's the only thing in the world that you buy and you hope to never use. Right.
It's true.
So, but, you know, however, from a promotional standpoint, it's things like this. It's like chatting with you, you know, going, you know, with power and things like that. For me, I just, you know, I always want to be that guy that, you know, somebody sees and, you know, oh, there's that guy. He's always smiling. You know, like, what is he so damn happy about? And I mean, for me, it's not insurance. It's not that at all. Don't get me wrong. It's my avenue. It's my medium to help people out with something that they're underserved, you know, with education and help with. But it's just, you know, I'm happy to have the opportunity to be here at a time when I think it's most needed, right? You know, positivity and, you know, just a rosy disposition, if you want to call it that, you know, when everybody else is looking at the negative, it's, you know, what's out there that we can look at positive. So in terms of where you can find, you know, me at, it's at a power mixer, you know, it's at, you know, enjoying, you know, some dinner with my wife at either the, you know, a local restaurant or, you know, on the golf course. You know, but just know if you ever need anything, I don't care if it's insurance related or just some advice. I like to consider myself a pretty decent idea guy.
You are. You know, you're an open book.
I'm an open book. You know, like even if somebody wants to just shoot the bull one day, I don't care if you know me or not. Like I'll put my cell phone out there for anybody to call anytime. You know, because I honestly get more out of talking to people than you know when somebody's asking me for advice, I get more out of giving them advice than they probably get from me, because for me, it's just like, it stokes the fire that's going on up here. I can't turn it off anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's that, you know, helping out a local nonprofit, you know, doing some stuff with the chamber, whether it's Scranton or Wilkes-Barre, you know, it's there. That's where you can find me. I'm not hard. Let's put it this way. I'm not hard to find.
No, you're not.
You know, I'm the only Josh Cadle in the world. So.
Yeah, I don't know any other Josh
Cadle. No, you sure don't.
No.
People always say, are you related to? I absolutely am. I just cut them off. Yep. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man, that's about it. I mean, you know, I mean, you and I could probably do this for another 4 hours. I don't think our wives would love us, but
yeah,
you
know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we settled the big league chew debate. So, you know,
good.
That was easy.
Good. Good, buddy.
Oh, grape the goat.
We'll have to find the pizza square picture for the outro.
Yeah. So for those listening that don't know, one time Josh put a piece of square pizza in his suit coat pocket. It was wrapped in a napkin. It was wrapped in a napkin, and it was like a pizza square, like a pocket square, but a pizza square. If that makes any sense.
I'm the idea guy.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't make any sense to them.
No, it's not going to make any sense.
That's about as inside a joke as you could have on a podcast.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's only about two other people in the world that are going to understand it, but I think people are just going to laugh at us for how stupid it sounds, but yeah. Hey, whatever, you know,
that's why we need the picture. We'll put the picture. If you need the picture, I'll find it.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants it, it's going to catch on. Somebody's going to put it on, you know, an actual pocket square.
Yeah,
it'll be a pizza square pocket square.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in case you get hungry, you know,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, man. Well, awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me for another virtual On the Stacks podcast. Josh Cadle, thecadleagency.com, and hashtag be the catalyst.
Fireworks.
That's it.
Fireworks.
Ba-boom.
Visual effects.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, thanks, Phil.
If you'd like to learn more about the On the Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on the Stacks.